The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now our next guest, the environmental scientist Dr. Tara Shine, has written a book, How to Save Your Planet, One Object at a Time. Tara, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. What do you mean by one object at a time? What's your objective?
Thanks, Matt, very much for having me on. Well, my objective is to make living sustainably something that is for everybody. And so by looking at everyday objects and habits and rituals we have that are associated with our house, our office, the sports we do, the celebrations we enjoy, I hope that I can make sustainability really relevant in an everyday way to everybody.
Okay, how difficult is that for people?
I think it can seem difficult. It can seem when you're told of the kind of the scales of the problem we have with climate change. And I think the way that being green has been sold as something that has to be perfect and ever so slightly out of the reach of an everyday person, that it can seem difficult. And so what I've done with this book is I've waded through all of the scientific and boring literature to try and bring you what the latest information is on the environmental impact of everyday objects, and then in a really practical, no-nonsense way, things you can do to make a difference. Some of them are easier, some of them are harder. You give it a go, whatever you can do, one or two objects, one or two steps, that's a great start. If you like it, do some more and tell other people what you're doing. That's a really important message in the book, is we need to grow the conversation around, you know, the benefits to your health and your well-being of a lot of what's in the book, the benefits to your wallet even. It's not just all about doing it for the planet, it's for you. It's going to make your life better.
When I asked you how easy is it for people, the reason I asked that is you get things like, I've just noticed, just a very simple example, I know it's one that you've focused on in the book. Recently looking to get bars of soap and finding that it's very hard to get them in the supermarket because everything is in a bottled container. And of course, that bottled container gives you waste in a way that a bar of soap wouldn't. Now, is that because the manufacturers are responding to the demand of consumers, or that they're forcing it upon consumers because they can make more money out of presenting it in that way?
Yeah, so there's a lot more packaging and a lot more moving of actually water involved in liquid soap. So the whole production of it is a whole lot more wasteful than a bar of soap. So some of the reason why we made the move to liquid soap was around convenience. Is it a little easier to lather up? But also with liquid soap, we tend to use more than we need. So we also go through liquid soap, especially if you've got kids in the house, more quickly than you would if you were washing your hands with a bar of soap. It's been interesting to see during the COVID crisis when soap was in short supply, how much people have returned to bar soap, or how many people are telling me that they've returned to bar soap because we're washing our hands so much that they're finding the chemicals in the liquid soap too harsh on their skin. And by returning to a bar of soap, particularly if that's something that's, you know, made locally with natural materials, that it's so much kinder to their hands.
Another example, which I'm sure many people are regularly making themselves cups of tea at present, but you have a thing with the tea bag causing a problem that might be better off if we were doing pots of tea, pots with loose leaf tea. Now explain what the problem with the tea bag is.
So tea bags are held together with glue, and the glue is made out of plastic. So if you got any gardeners that have tried composting their tea bags, they'll tell you that they come out the other end after a few years and this tea bag is still there. They're really, really slow to break down. And so that glue, the plastic glue, doesn't biodegrade. And so one way of avoiding that plastic and having it in our soil or in our systems is to just use loose tea instead. And so tea drinkers who really like value and know the quality of tea will tell you drinking loose tea gets you a better taste and a better flavor anyway. And then you just can put the old tea leaves straight onto your garden or into your compost bin, and those are totally natural. They'll biodegrade. But the thing to remember with tea is actually the biggest part of the footprint of a cup of tea is around boiling the water. 85% of the carbon footprint of a cup of tea is dependent on the electricity used to boil the water. So if you overfill your kettle, or if you boil the kettle three times before you make the cup of tea, that's actually the biggest thing you can change in terms of the carbon footprint of your cuppa.
Okay, had not thought of that either. Okay, I just want to go through some more examples with you, because I think this is probably the best way to illustrate the points that you make in the book. Talk to me a little bit about the use of wet wipes when people are cleaning, particularly taking makeup off their face.
So wet wipes are the ultimate in convenience, right? So instead of getting your face cloth and some soap and water to wash your face, you do it with this wipe and you throw it away. Unfortunately, all of these wipes contain plastic, so they don't biodegrade. And also people think you can flush them down the toilet like a piece of toilet roll, and that doesn't work. So some of the biggest fatbergs in the world, so these are huge, big conglomerations of fat and wet wipes. They've blocked like the whole sewers and everything in London. They had enormous ones. They had one that was 250 meters long in London, made of 150 tons of grease and wet wipes. So anybody who works in sewage systems or drainage systems will tell you, keep the wet wipes well away from your toilet. Don't flush them above all. You start to see ones now where people say they're biodegradable. There's others on the line that are flushable. Actually, they're best avoided altogether if you can. And the old-fashioned face cloth is a great substitute.
What about mothers and fathers who are using them for the baby, to wipe the baby when they're changing a nappy?
Yeah, so what I would say is if you can't live without them when you're on the move, you know, I'm not gonna preach at you, that's fine. But try when you're at home to use a sponge or something instead, a sponge and a small bowl of water and some hot soapy water. That is even better and kinder on your baby's skin. If you notice, wet wipes are amazing at getting stains out of almost everything. So it does make me wonder what on earth is in there. And it's not just the plastic that's within the actual tissue part of it, but also the chemicals that are put on the wet wipe that we should be like definitely reading all the ingredients. And, you know, soap and water is nearly always better.
Yeah, a good point that actually, because I've noticed that if you have a mark on a suit, rather than having to bring it for dry cleaning, often the wet wipe will actually sort it out for you. So if it does that to a suit, what does it actually do to your skin? But actually, as we've mentioned, nappies, the attempt to persuade people to move back to cloth nappies and not use disposable nappies doesn't really seem to have gathered enormous momentum in recent years. Yet how much damage do those nappies do?
Oh, nappies are horrific because, again, they're made predominantly of plastic. So they don't go away. You know, they hang around in our landfills or we burn them in our incinerators. But, you know, they're not a great product. And so what I think important for anybody that's like my age, your age or older to know is that the modern day reusable cloth nappies are nothing like the ones that were put on us as kids. They're not these big floppy things held together by a nappy pin. They have Velcro fastenings. They're made in different size. They come with a little insert, you know, a more disposable, compostable kind of toilet paper insert that you can flush down the loo or put in the bin. Like they're a whole different, they're easier to dry, they're easier to wash than the ones that we grew up with. And so they're worth giving it a go. And there's a lot of reusable nappy producers that will let you do a trial, do a test before you make the investment of actually buying them yourself. You can rent them, you can even rent them along with a washing service. But it's a different thing. So keep an open mind is what I would say. And if you're a young parent and you want to try it, do so. And if you know, if for those first few weeks that you have a baby, that just seems like a step too far, well, don't, you know, let it be. Wait until your baby is like 6 weeks old or whatever and you've kind of got into a routine and then give it a go.
Of course, one of the things a lot of people complain about is fast fashion and cheap clothing, which is bought and maybe after two or three wears is disposed of. You particularly have an issue in relation to nylon and the use of nylon in tights. Tell us about the problem here and the alternatives you'd recommend.
Yeah, so the, you know, fast fashion is something we look a lot at in Change by Degrees, which is my business, which works with businesses to help them be more sustainable, you know, to look for alternatives. So with things like tights, it's like, I wonder what is the alternative there? Right now, there's no easy recycling of tights. You can't take your tights to be recycled. They're made of nylon, which is a material that's made out of oil. It's essentially a plastic. It will last forever. So what options are there? So now people are starting to look at making tights out of other kinds of materials like bamboo or returning to like silk tights, believe it or not. But something like a pair of silk tights, you pay more for the pair, but you'll wear them longer. But this is the kind of innovation and creativity, some of which borrows from the past, some of which is really future gazing around the technology that will help us separate, for example, elastane from nylon so we can actually be able to recycle tights. that I think is really exciting part of the future of innovation and the future of the way we do business. Because we know from fast fashion in particular that, you know, the customers want something different now. They're asking more questions, even younger customers who, you know, who might be most interested in kind of fast fashion, cheaper clothes. So all of that's going to change, and businesses are going to have to respond and keep up.
Well, one last question, so in relation to all that, Dr. Tara Shine. If you can't appeal to people's sense of environmental consciousness, can you appeal to their pocket? If they were to buy your book, How to Save Your Planet One Object at a Time, and were to follow it, would they save money as well as creating an environmental benefit?
Yeah, they will save money. And what I would like to say to that is that very few people are motivated by an environmental cause, purely environmental on its own. That's a very small number of us. Most of us are motivated by our own health, by our own self-interest, by our well-being, by the well-being of our families and our friends, and by our pockets. And so what I'd love people to realize is that a lot of the messages in this book they're much more social and economic than they are environmental. And I really believe that's how we should be talking about things like climate change and sustainability. It's at the heart of how we communicate in Change by Degrees, because people care more about their health, for example, than they do about Mother Earth, the vast majority of people. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So talking about climate change and sustainability in a more social way is really, really important.
Dr. Tara Shine, author of How to Save Your Planet One Object at a Time, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.